Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit you instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's the middle of November. The church year is drawing to a close, and the first Sunday of Advent is just 2 weeks away. I know, I see the kids back there. Thanksgiving happens in between the end of Pentecost and the beginning of Advent. How appropriate that we set aside a Thursday to give thanks for all that we have. We make a conscious decision to stop, to focus on all that we have to be thankful for. Although if you listen to the news or practice the ancient art of reading the newspaper, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot going on for which to give thanks. There's the ongoing pandemic, kidnappings, earthquakes, fires, political turmoil, economic woes. Have you seen the price of the gas pumps? And more. Add to that the problem of misinformation, disinformation, and now malinformation. That's where information is used to hurt someone or something on purpose, with no regard to the news validity or the outcome of what they're saying. And a person could easily become very stressed, very concerned, or worse. One could lose heart in the face of all that is going on, all that we have no control over, all that we fear. It feels as upside down as the 1960s. I'm a child of the 60s. That was the period of time during which I became of age. And there was a phrase then that people kept saying. It was on t-shirts, billboards, posters, peppered speeches. And if you were born before 1960, you probably remember hearing it. Keep the faith, baby. It was a civil rights movement mantra, often repeated by the New York House of Representatives member, Adam Clayton Powell, who put it this way. Keep the faith, baby. Spread it gently and walk together, children. Well, in today's reading from the Old Testament, we find Hannah, mother of Samuel, keeping the faith and spreading it gently. Hannah has no children during a time when children defined a woman. It was understood and well known that children were a gift from God, as we know today. Hannah felt as if she had no purpose in life, no children. Not only is Hannah barren, as they put it, lifeless, but she shares her home with another wife, Peninnah, who taunts her mercilessly about her plight. Swell. Here's Hannah, no children, living with Peninnah and all her sons and daughters, sharing husband Elkanah, who doesn't seem to understand why he is not worth more than 10 sons. What a sad, utterly hopeless, unendurable situation for her. Makes me think of the old TV show, Just Shoot Me. What does Hannah have to live for? But she doesn't give up. She keeps the faith, baby. She presents herself before the Lord, pours out her heart in prayer. She fervently, she passionately appeals to God, begging for a male child and vowing that she will give the child to God should he grant her petition. She is in a completely distressed state, crying, keening, praying in silence as her body and face reveal her abject despair. What a sight she makes. Distorted with sorrow, crippled with defeat, wrenching in agony. Eli the priest thinks she's drunk. He admonishes her about her state. But when she explains what she's doing, what she's praying for, he says to her, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made." And just like that, her countenance changes. She is sad no longer because she has accepted the answer before it became visible. She took Eli's words as confirmation. She didn't wait to see if God would or would not answer her prayer. She accepted by faith what the natural eye could not see. Her physical appearance being changed, and she ate and drank, and in due time, she conceived a child. She lived as she believed. She kept the faith. I actually looked up the saying to get a clear idea not only of the history around it then, but also of its meaning. To keep the faith, it says, means to continue to believe, to trust in someone or something when it's difficult to do so. In this age of dis, mis, and malinformation, it is definitely difficult to do so. It can be hard to know that God is still in charge and that he knows what a mess we're making of things down here, and yet he knows the plans he has for you and for me and for this world. How do we keep the faith then? How do we trust in God when everything seems to be going wrong? Well, Hannah gives us a pretty neat four-step plan. First, she suits up. She presents herself before God. I liken this to adopting Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God before starting the day. Step two requires talking to God. She pours out her heart to him, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I practice keeping in conversation with him throughout the day, because he promised that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Thirdly, she prayed to him. Besides her vow, I am sure she included praise and thanksgiving, because she was praying for a long time before her vow and a long time after her vow. And the last thing she did was to give it all to him. She didn't take it back. She allowed God to be in control of her life, so much so that her physical appearance changed. That's a very personal four-step plan for keeping the faith. But there's a greater story going on here beyond the personal pleas of Hannah and the certainty of God's promise to her and his promise to us. Hannah's faith gave birth to Israel's transition from judges to kings. Transitions. They can be pretty tumultuous. There's friction between the old and the new. Found here in 1 Samuel between the two wives, and on a greater scale, between God, who wants to be their only king, and the people who want a human king. Hannah's son Samuel navigates that transition, and we witness the birth of a kingdom, labor pains and all. And through it all, Hannah, Samuel, and Israel struggle to keep the faith. That same call echoes in today's reading from Hebrews. Look at the last paragraph. It says, "Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Then let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering." And again, in today's gospel reading from Mark, you know, Mark is the shortest book of the gospel, but it constantly reminds us of the nature of Jesus, the Messiah, who keeps the faith right through the crucifixion, through the resurrection, onto the road to Emmaus, and to our midst right here today. When this small book first appeared, it was a killing time in Rome. Nero held garden parties where believers were burned alive. Peter and Paul had already been executed. And Mark's gospel appears, reminding and encouraging us still today to take up our cross and keep the faith. The reading for today is part of Jesus' final discourse on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, from the Gospel. He explains that discipleship is not fulfilled by predicting future events. Discipleship is fulfilled by faithfulness in the present, especially in our trials, adversity, and suffering. He warns the disciples about the internal dangers inside the household of faith and the external dangers, wars, famine, calamities, that these do not keep God's reign from spreading, and they do not signal that the end is near. Jesus' last sentence here, "This is but the beginning of birth pangs," echoes the reading from Samuel where we witnessed the birth of the kingdom. And Hannah's song of praise and thanksgiving, our psalm today, echoes all the way through history, more than a millennium later, to the Magnificat of Mary, found in Luke chapter 1. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Advent's coming. God is in charge. So let's keep the faith, baby. Let us pray. Oh God, you bring us through the changes and changelessness of this life. Mercifully grant us the gift of faith that allows us to keep our feet firmly planted on your promises, so that we might be a light to the world in the darkness that surrounds us. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Messiah, the suffering servant who gave his life so that we might live. Jesus Christ. Amen.